This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here in Boston at the OpenStack Summit, and I'm talking with Jonathan Bryce.
Hi, Ian. I'm Jonathan Bryce, Executive Director at the OpenStack Foundation.
There's been a lot going on this week. One of the most important things has been the Foundation talking about how it's going to simplify what's going on with OpenStack. Can you give us a bit more insight into that?
We talked a lot about yesterday in the first day of keynotes and in some of the sessions about how we think we have gotten into a second generation of clouds, especially on the private cloud side. And a huge piece of what differentiates that from 2010, 2012 is how the technology has improved and it's become simpler to run this kind of technology. If you go back to 2010 or 2011 and you wanted to deploy a private cloud, OpenStack wasn't the only option back then. It's pretty much the main one now. First, you kind of had to decide what technology you were going to use. And then back then, they were all immature. It was just a difficult task to take on. So it was something that mostly really large companies were doing. Some small companies that were very technical and had a technology focus were also doing it, but it hadn't really gone mainstream. And I think that what we saw over the last couple of years is in the development community a big focus on simplifying and focusing on operator issues. And the outcome of that has been that we have a U.S. Army Cyber School speak yesterday, and they have a couple of people that are running an OpenStack cloud for doing cyber training. They've saved millions of dollars on their infrastructure costs by doing that. It's not a big team. And so we get to hear about those use cases now. And so, yes, I think that a critical point of that is simplify the technology, simplify the operations of it. The other side to it, besides the technology, that I think is important for a lot of businesses, a lot of companies don't want to work with open source directly all on their own. They like to have a partner, they like to have a vendor that they know they can get a support contract from and call when they need help or whatever. Again, if you go back to, I would say our commercial ecosystem around OpenStack started to develop in 2011 or 2012, but it was pretty fragmented and there were people trying a lot of different things. No one really knew how are people going to buy clouds. We knew that developers were going to consume resources from clouds in the way that Amazon and now Azure and Google and other public clouds offer it. But if you needed your own cloud, how do you buy that? Do you want an installer? Do you need a lifecycle management tool? Do you just get that from your Linux distribution? So there was a lot of experimentation in the business models, and we saw which ones have worked and which ones haven't. And I think that that's been very helpful for bringing in new companies like GE and some of the other ones that have spoken, who they now have clear options from vendors about how to buy this, how to use it, what the cost models are, what kind of support they're going to get. And it just clears up a lot of the potential risk and concerns.
You've addressed over the last 18 months the problem of a lot of distributions where they'd all gone off and added their own little bits and pieces. You've re-established a base, you've made sure that they're all conforming to that base. More importantly, you've also proven interoperability at multiple levels. So we now have deployment interoperability which we can rely on. There's still the issue of how do you port from point to point because of API dependencies and everything else, but we're now moving down that journey. And that's all part of the issue of maturing. But also coming with maturing is people's expectation of what is simple and what works. And that's what came out in the user survey. Those people who had initially come along and were quite happy working with what they saw as a geeky solution were fine. Those who came along and wanted just a straight commodity configuration were struggling. You've been very brave. You've actually openly addressed that yesterday. You've talked about straight away what you're going to do to fix it. How fast do you think you can move down that line and correct these things before the next user survey in 5 months' time?
Deeply embedded into the technology. One of the things that I really like about the culture of development that our software teams have built up over the last couple of years is it's more and more operator focused. You could look at a problem in any software project and say, that needs to change and that could be a lot simpler. But what we're building with OpenStack is something that is its infrastructure. And you think about the term infrastructure, for people not in the technology industry, they think of roads and bridges and airports and water systems and things like that. It's very important to everything getting done. And technology infrastructure is the same thing. And so our developers are really cognizant of like, okay, I may know how to fix that, but more important than just knowing how to fix it is knowing how to fix it in the right way where it doesn't disrupt all of the 5 million cores plus out there that are running OpenStack right now. And so I think what we're seeing is, at a community level, we've already started to simplify the set of projects that are out there. We've started to look at how you can run them cleanly and independently. When you get down into some of those core components, there's actually a session here in Boston yesterday where they talked about how we need other options for shared understanding at a technical level in the system. So we use RabbitMQ right now for queuing. We use a MySQL compatible database. A lot of people use like MariaDB or whatever. In a distributed system, there are other kinds of shared understandings you need, like distributed lock management, shared configuration that's fully distributed. In some cases, pieces of that is living in the queue, pieces of that are living in the database. Neither of those are great places when you get to scale. What the working session yesterday decided on was to actually add etcd as a standard component that OpenStack services could start to use specifically for distributed lock management. But going forward, it can also be used for shared configuration and also for publishing service status. Those are things that right now you get from these other components that aren't ideally suited to them. But the way that the technical community, you know, this is a discussion from yesterday, so everything I'm saying now is up for change as they start to move through implementation. But the way that the theory behind the approach is going to be to basically start to add etcd as an option, and projects will start to add it as one of two options for these different things. So if you're an existing operator, you're not going to have to learn a new system, install it, and throw out all of the things that you knew in a couple of months, especially if everything's running fine. But if you are running at very large scale and you have thousands of nodes and you're starting to see some of those scale issues for things like configuration and status checks and everything, then you now have an option to go to that sooner and fix your problem. And then over time, that will become the default and everybody will have it and everybody will be running it. So that's generally how these things happen. It's kind of a two-speed thing. I think that ultimately one of the things that has shifted a little bit since the early days, the very early days of OpenStack, we have such a big user base now, thousands of OpenStack clouds that are out there. Back in my pre-foundation days, when I was running the Rackspace public cloud and had software developers and engineers that are running these systems, as we continue to grow, I used to talk about the weight of customers. You know, what, as you add more customers, it becomes something that you have to carry it and you have to be aware of it. You can't move as quickly. You can't just jump across spaces and do things completely differently just on a whim. That's the situation that we're in with Rackspace now, and our development community has that awareness and respects it. And I think it's actually one of the reasons why these companies trust OpenStack with their infrastructure.
It's one of the challenges also of maturing. As you mature, you end up with legacy installations. And one of the discussions has been trying to get away from this idea of a monolithic product, go back to the idea of it's a bunch of Lego bricks you can assemble. And the truth of the matter is that actually it has started to become quite monolithic because people were just adding things in and then they'd leave it for a while and they didn't know how to decouple them and take them out. That's going to require quite a bit of rethinking at the moment, architecturally, for a lot of people. With all the dangers that other companies have seen over the years, in that you can't, as you say, move as fast as you'd like, and you've then got to have a lot of people you're supporting further down channel. How do you start to align much more to how the born on the cloud companies have done, the platform-based companies, where actually they've pushed people forward a lot faster, they've deprecated components a lot quicker, but they've given people easier ways to plug a new solution in. There's going to be people who came in early who aren't going to find themselves quite so simple with that. Where does the knowledge come from, and how do you address that group of people?
Those are all really good questions, and they don't have easy answers. You mentioned the user survey and how there were concerns among some of the users. And if you looked at, because we do a thing called the NPS score, the Net Promoter Score, and that had dipped this survey over the previous one. The reason we asked that question is we want to know what people are worried about, what's not working for them, what they would like to see different. And when we dug into that, we found that the biggest portion of that was actually people who were on older versions of OpenStack, to your point. They had adopted it at some point. The truth is that in the first few years, we didn't have a great upgrade story. We didn't have a great upgrade process. And so if you deployed it and it worked for you and the upgrade was hard, then you're going to just kick that can down the road. And then eventually you realize that you're kind of stuck back here. So that, I think, is a problem that some people had ended up in. For the last couple of years, we've had rolling upgrades, no downtime upgrades for most of the services. And so those users have been able to stay up to date more easily. And once you were past that point, then you're in a pretty good position. For those people who started on older versions, I think that what they're going to benefit from now is the other topic that we've talked about a lot, which is let's reduce complexity all over. At some point, they want to get to a newer version. They're going to have to do not just an in-place upgrade, but they're going to have to stand up a new control plane and start to move resources over to it. That could be daunting 3 years ago to think, I have to install it all again. But I think that we're getting to the point where, as you said, the focusing on simplicity and the core services that you need is making that easier and more of an option. What I hope that we'll see is that people will be able to make that move. Once they do that, then they're kind of on the train with the rest of the system. It's an issue, and I talked yesterday about adoption and technology development. And they go on these different curves. There's a community that builds around it, and then it sort of forms up, and then it spikes in the amount of technology, and then that starts to stabilize as the technology matures. And the user curve goes much slower for much longer until the technology gets to that mature phase, and then it spikes. We actually had users who were using OpenStack really early on in its development, and I think that developers at that time weren't thinking about, how do I do rolling upgrades forever? we figured that out, that that was really important relatively early in the life cycle. But yeah, some people came in earlier than that.
Part of the simplicity has been about understanding which projects are important, which aren't, deprecating those that are going nowhere, but also reaching out to other parts of the open source community out there and acknowledging that you're not the only part of this solution for customers. How do you see that as playing out? Because at the moment, when the conversation starts, people don't really talk about Cloud Foundry or other open source projects. They talk about OpenStack. How do you make sure that that conversation widens sufficiently that they all retain their identity, they're not subsumed under yourselves?
Or if you wanted an open alternative, or if you were trying to cut licensing costs or whatever, then OpenStack was where a lot of people went. That was very much centered around Nova, the virtualization service inside of OpenStack. Kubernetes, people, sometimes they want bare metal, sometimes they want GPUs, like we heard from eBay yesterday. The Nova component suddenly becomes not required for every use case. Still required for the majority of them at this point. That may stay that way or that may change over time, but the vast majority of things still are running on things that look like computers, whether they're virtual machines or physical servers. In the OpenStack world, when you think, okay, well, what would OpenStack look like without Nova in it? That's a pretty crazy question to think about 3 or 4 years ago. But Kubernetes, they made that a reality because we had users like eBay who were integrating Keystone and who were integrating Neutron and who were integrating all of the other services from OpenStack. They were looking at it with that microservice viewpoint around Kubernetes rather than just basing everything on top of Nova. And I think that's actually a great thing to happen for our community too, because like you said, it helps us look at, rather than we are the critical piece and everything must be built in this way, it actually makes us go, okay, we deliver really important sets of functionality, and we need to make sure that people get the ones that are useful to them and that they can do that easily. It forces you to look at how you can deliver real value to users. And when you look at it that way, then that's when you build the best tools and you build the best software. I put a lot of it on Kubernetes making something that's a really viable option to just virtualization. And I think that it's been good for OpenStack already. I think it's going to be good for the industry overall.
Jonathan, thank you for your time. I'm looking forward to see how much of this comes true.
Yes, thank you.